Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Tuesday to you as we come into the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee. How are we this morning? Thumbs up from Ben Lee as he runs around getting everything set up. Cody McClure, yourself?
Yeah, it's good to be here. Good to be anywhere, John.
Good.
On a fine day.
Good to hear.
A beautiful morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm a little perturbed.
How come?
That game last night. A little perturbed. Really just... Just the whole landscape of the NBA getting changed, flipped upside its head. That's frustrating, or I'm frustrated by it.
How so? Just the result, or?
I mean, no, the result's fine. We get more basketball. That was a really, really fun game last night. That was a great game.
It certainly was.
I'm more so just frustrated over the, like I said, the NBA being changed last night.
What changed?
I mean, free agency changed. We've been pretty blessed to watch one of... I think Kevin Durant is one of the 10 best basketball players of all time. I think we have a guy that, you know, was on pace to have maybe a top five NBA career, maybe have his entire career changed last night.
Oh, you think so? You don't think he'll come back from the...
I think he'll come back, but I don't think he's going to come back as the best or second best or third best player in the league. Like... That doesn't really happen from Achilles injury. So I'm a little frustrated last night that we've been robbed of the next 5 or 6 years of, like I said, a guy who I think is already a top 10 player of all time and someone who could have risen even higher. I think we had that robbed from us last night.
Really?
I do. I think last night was a very, very bad night for everyone involved. Like the Warriors sucked it up. They won a game. That was impressive. I thought Nick Nurse had the chance to become the second best coach in the league behind Popovich. I mean, with the run he had been on. And then he takes that inexplicable timeout and just really mismanages the last 3 minutes of that game. And he had a bad night. Kawhi couldn't come up clutch for three quarters. And then he goes Super Saiyan in the fourth quarter in a good three-minute stretch that, you know, has him score 12 points and them go up six, and then he can't get a bucket the rest of the game. It was just it was a very bad night for everyone involved.
It was weird with Kawhi. He hit four shots in a row and just he was killing it.
He was bad for three quarters, and then like you said, those four shots right there lit the world on fire. Like
he went on fire, and then out of nowhere, just did nothing else. You know,
man, Nick Nurse.
Could not nurse the finish.
Could not nurse the team to the finish line. Like, I really don't understand how you have the ball up six. A deafening, you know, arena weighing down the Warriors, and Steph Curry's pressing, and he's 1 for 6. He wasn't making shots. The Warriors in general, you know, they had gotten to the point in their offense where it was, I guess, let's let Andre Iguodala dribble into a mid-range contested two-point shot. Like, that was kind of the path that they were on. You have the ball. You have the ball to Kawhi with the court spread out, up six. One more bucket, and it might be a wrap. One more bucket, and it might be over. You call a timeout. You let them get up off the mat. You let them have their standing eight count, and then the champs went champs. And then they started playing that championship-level defense. Kawhi couldn't get a shot off. I mean, out of the timeout, if you'd have came out and ran a play and you'd have came out and said, hey, we're going to run this beautiful action and we're going to get to the line or get a layup or a wide open three, maybe I changed my mind. Maybe I'm playing the results here. But what I saw from after the timeout was Kawhi Leonard dribbled around Shot a contested free throw line jumper that he airballed. You saw the Raptors score 2 points the rest of the game. 2 points. And that was on a goaltend whenever it was a three-point deficit. Like, that was it. And then you had the ball with 15 seconds left. And at that point, I'm like, okay, 15 seconds, down one, got a timeout. If it's me, I probably say, look, just go as fast as you can. Lowry, get to the rim. You're blowing by everybody. Get to the rim. Let's go at least, if we miss, let's try to miss with 6 seconds left. That way we can foul. Maybe they hit two free throws. I call timeout. We have a three to try to tie. Maybe that's like my strategy. But instead, they have the timeout, and they take all 15 seconds with no play, no plan, and you end up with Kyle Lowry, who I don't think anyone wanted shooting the ball. Like, it would have been poetic if Kyle Lowry's the guy who comes up big, but I think Raptors fans would have rather had anyone on the court shoot instead of him, if they're being honest with themselves. And Draymond Green made a Draymond Green play. He blocks a shot, and now the Warriors are headed back to the Bay. Although I don't even know how good they feel about themselves because of what happened last night. Like, at least they didn't go out like other dynasties that ended. You know, we've been making the comparison to the 2004 Lakers who went out, blowout Game 5, to the 2014 Heat that went out, blown out in Game 5. So at least the Warriors, you know, they answered the bell. Good for them. I still don't think they win the series, but good for them. I'm just frustrated last night. It was a great game. It was dramatic. It was entertaining, but it just felt unsatisfying. And then I got really, really depressed about, or not depressed, but I just got really frustrated about the Kevin Durant thing. Because like I said, he's a guy I think is already one of the 10 best players to ever play in the league. And we might not ever see him play at that level again.
Sounds like you were dealing with a lot of emotions last night.
I'm still dealing with them. I still don't know how to process these things.
It seems like you have a lot of different things going on up there.
I do. It's just, whatever. The Raptors, I still think, are going to win the series. I think the Warriors kind of had their last kitchen sink game where they throw everything out. And look, man, that was a really awesome sequence. Even as someone who was rooting against the Warriors, to see them go down six and to have Klay hit a three, Steph hit a three, Klay hit a beautiful pump fake and then drain a three. Like, that was poetry in motion for two guys who have been at the top of the league, for two guys who are thought of to maybe be the best point guard and shooting guard combination in NBA history. Like, that's who those two guys are. Maybe the best backcourting. And I don't think you could say maybe anymore. It was a hot take in 2016 or 2015 when people said it, but now I think it's just understood. That's the best shooting backcourt we've ever seen in basketball. And they came up big. Steph Curry got himself together during that inexplicable Nick Nurse timeout, and Steph Curry was able to save a little bit of his legacy, and Klay Thompson gets to add to his legend of big shot maker.
I found myself unable to decide whether or not to root for the Raptors or root for another game. Because I am, looking back today, I am happy we get a Game 6 now. You know, there's a little more drama, a little more of a flair to the series now.
Yeah, Thursday will be fun.
Because now Golden State is within striking distance, and they're going to the Bay. And that could end up being a Game 7 series.
Yeah, maybe. They open as 4-point favorites. It's been betting down. It's been bet down already to a 3-point line. I think you had last night, Cody. And look, I don't want to sound like I'm looking to defend a Raptors pick or to downplay the Warriors' chances. But like I said, I think you just had a heroic last gasp by a team full of champions, right? I think that's what happened last night. I think the Raptors. Man, we talked about that crowd, right? And how good we thought that crowd was going to be. Turns out the crowd probably made some of these guys nervous, right? Turns out maybe it's a little bit too much pressure to win in front of that big crowd with the entire country behind you. Because everyone shot poorly last night except Mark Gasol. And Mark Gasol really didn't do much in the second half. The first half, he was awesome. He was the only player on the Raptors doing a thing. And then in the third quarter, it switched to where it was basically Kyle Lowry trying to put the team on his back. But even he couldn't hit a shot. He was just getting to the rim or hitting that little 8-foot jumper over to Marcus Cousins, but he couldn't hit a deep shot. The Raptors shot 8 of 32 from 3. That's 25%. whereas the Warriors hit 23-pointers at 47.6%. It took like a historically good shooting performance from a, you know, a good jump shooting team to win by 1 point. I still don't know defensively if they're going to have answers. I still think you saw, like, when the Raptors actually spread them out and kind of run their offense, the Warriors can't really defend them. And now you complicate it with the, you know, the sadness surrounding Kevin Durant, which I don't know how much that could go either way. Like, the team could be dejected, or they could say what they said after the game, which is, we're playing for Kevin now. And maybe that could be a motivation. I don't know. But I saw Kevon Looney out there, who gave them good minutes. I saw him not be able to finish the game, and they're basically saying he's done. And I'm seeing DeMarcus Cousins play a really, really, really good first half and then look like he couldn't move in the fourth quarter as he's trying to chase Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, he did not look very good late in the game.
I mean, he's hurt. He's hurt. And I come out of this, I'm frustrated. The game was awesome last night, but it still felt a little unsatisfying because of how it ended with just the Raptors completely gagging that away in front of a country.
I mean, you think Durant's got a regret coming back, right?
Well, let's talk about that next, because that's actually what's got me the most angry. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hello.
Cody, you posed the question before break whether or not we thought Kevin Durant regretted coming back. Like, I mean, I think that is an obvious answer. You have to regret it. You have to regret it, and I didn't think he should have came back. I didn't think he should risk it. I didn't think his difference was going to – I didn't think him playing was going to be enough to win the series. I didn't think anything was really coming out of that other than Kevin Durant got to say, hey, I gave it my all.
I certainly regret drafting him first.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't going to bring that up because whatever. We talked about it yesterday. Like,
bad draft pick, you know? It's like a Browns quarterback.
Yeah, I mean,
I messed up.
You can't really make fun of people for making bad draft picks now because you were right there on front display and you took a guy who... Oh, I had a questionable injury history. Had a questionable injury status.
What can I say? I'm not a GM.
And you got 11 points out of him.
Yeah. Well, he sure did fight.
Now, they needed every one of those 11 points.
Yeah, they did. They only won by one.
They needed those points. The GM. Did you see the GM after the game? Bob Myers, as he took the podium. I hate playing doctor on injuries because I don't know what the hell I'm talking about when it comes to doctors. I thought the first injury was an Achilles injury. It ended up being the calf. So when he went down again, I assumed it was just an aggravated calf again. Even though you saw him pull, you know, at the top of his shoe, which is right where the Achilles is. So then you have people saying, that one looked worse.
Well, you could see the calf kind of, and when they did the slow motion, the calf kind of wiggled like
I kept avoiding the slow motion replay.
Yeah.
I don't like that stuff.
No.
No.
I kind of do.
Understandable. Yeah. Some people do.
Yeah.
I mean, they wouldn't keep getting circulated and passed around if people didn't like it. I don't like them. I always avoid them.
I'm a little demented.
I don't need to see it.
Well, it was kind of wiggling, so it looked like the calf, you know, I mean, where the calf muscle would be.
I'll be honest. I watched it once.
Okay. So you saw it.
I saw it once because the Twitter app has the autoplay on, so
yeah.
Curiosity got the best of me, and I did see it. But even then, I didn't know what the hell I was looking at because I had some people saying, that's what happens when the calf gets hurt, it retracts or Wiggles. Whatever. Yeah. So, but then I was like, okay, well, maybe it wasn't Achilles. And then after the game, immediately you had the vibe that this is bad because A, Kevin Durant left the game. B, you had Steve Kerr in his postgame presser be like, nah, I'm not going to talk about it. Ask Bob. Ask the GM. He's going to talk to you guys later. And at that point, I was like, well, if the GM's addressing this, this is going to be bad. And then Bob Myers sat down the GM and he was on the verge of tears. And as he talked, did get emotional, and he's like, yeah, it's an Achilles. Ben, do you have that audio ready of Bob Myers? Let's play Bob Myers. Is this him talking about the Achilles? Here's Bob Myers kind of breaking the news that, yeah, we might have messed up, guys.
Um,
Cheers.
Kevin had it's an Achilles injury. I don't know the extent of it. He'll have an MRI tomorrow. Prior to coming back, he went through 4 weeks with our medical team, and it was thorough, and it was experts and multiple MRIs and multiple doctors, and we felt good about the process. He was cleared to play tonight. That was a collaborative decision. I don't believe there's anybody to blame, but I understand this world, and if you have to, you can blame me. I run our basketball operations department.
Cody, that's the first time you've heard that, I assume.
Oh, I feel like I was in the room with him. The guy's just very emotional. Either that or he's a fantastic actor, one or the other.
I think it's the crippling guilt he's going to feel over the next year. That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's the crippling guilt that the entire Warriors organization should feel. I think they should be ashamed of themselves. I think they know that they were complicit, if not completely negligent, in running Kevin Durant out there for their own selfish gain.
Well, how do we know that if the doctors cleared him?
It's the team doctors. Like, the team doctors have an incentive. Like, the team doctors have an incentive to be good for the team.
They're still doctors, though.
They are.
I mean, they.
They are.
The ethical standards of a doctor are typically pretty high.
Yep.
I mean, you think they just cleared him too early? You think the doctors went along with that?
Well, I think they cleared him too early. Did you see his Achilles?
Well, yeah, I did.
Yeah, yeah, he got cleared too early.
I mean, do you think the doctors just were cool with that? I mean, maybe made a mistake.
No, they made a mistake. They made a mistake. They made it because they wanted the Warriors to win basketball games.
Well, I'm just wondering, maybe they made a mistake in their diagnosis, not necessarily just because they...
No, I mean, Friday night, the reports came out from people who saw it. Like, the Warriors tried to run Kevin Durant out there for game four, and they had him run out there 40 minutes before the game, and every account was that went horrifically. Like, he's not close to being ready. And then, do you remember, Cody? We didn't really get to talk about it because, you know, weekend and everything, but on Friday night, Saturday morning, did you see the story that came out from The Athletic?
I don't subscribe.
Well, I mean, it got regurgitated around and aggregated and all that stuff, so it became a talking point. It wasn't just exclusive on The Athletic, but there was the rumblings about how the Warriors were, quote, frustrated that Kevin Durant wasn't playing yet.
I recall.
That they looked around and, well, we got Kevon Looney out here playing with one collarbone, and we got DeMarcus Cousins running around on one calf or one thigh or whatever the hell was wrong with him. You know, Clay's out there playing game four. He looks great. Where's Kevin? Where's Kevin? And that came from the Warriors locker room. That came from somebody in the Warriors camp. Either it was Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Steve Kerr and his staff, or the GM in front office. Somebody went out there and they pressured Kevin Durant. And what do we know about Kevin Durant, Cody, besides that he's tall?
He doesn't like being pressured.
Keep going a little bit further. Come on, let's work through this.
He'll give in to pressure.
There we go. And why does he give in to pressure?
Because he's fragile mentally.
And he really, really, really cares what people think about him.
Yes, he does.
So Kevin Durant's sitting there as everyone, including his own locker room, is looking at him like, hey, Kev, do you not care? Are you checked out? Are you going to play? Are you just trying to show everybody that we need you? Do you want your rings to matter? Come on, Kev, we need you. Come on, man. Let's go out here and finish what we started. 3-peat. 3-1. Let's end the 3-1 jokes. Come on, we can do this.
The way you're describing it kind of makes me feel bad for Kevin Durant.
You should feel bad for Kevin Durant. You should. But, I mean, we're complicit in this. Like, we made fun of Kevin Durant. We've called Kevin Durant soft and all that stuff. Like, it's not just the Warriors doing this, but the Warriors are the guys that are supposed to be taking care of him. And here's what I'll say about it. And I'll argue with anyone about it. I feel very, very strongly about this. They wouldn't have let Steph Curry play in that game last night.
If the roles were reversed.
Steph Curry would not have played. Because Steph Curry's under contract. Steph Curry is the face of the franchise. Steph Curry wouldn't have played. They would have said, Steph, think about your long-term health.
Wouldn't the crooked doctors have wanted Steph to play just as much?
No. Steph Curry is an asset that's going to be there for a long time. Kevin Durant ain't playing at Golden State next year. We all knew that.
So you're saying they just didn't care about him.
You know who else ain't playing there next year? DeMarcus Cousins and Kevon Looney. Who are the three guys out there limping around giving their all? Kevin Durant, DeMarcus Cousins, and Kevon Looney. Who'd they keep out in game three?
Klay Thompson.
Klay Thompson, who also is in their plans long term. Hey, Klay, let's be smart about this, man.
But Klay came right back.
He did, but he
I mean, his injury's not the same level of Durant's.
But game three came down to, will the doctors clear Klay Thompson? Klay Thompson wanted to play. The doctor said no. Steph Curry would not have played last night with a strained calf that he was not able to explode off of, that he was not able to move off of. And you could show me the pre-dance, the pre-game dance, which is really funny seeing Kevin Durant dance like that on an injured calf that eventually, you know, leads to a ruptured Achilles. But you could show me the pre-game dunk. That stuff's adrenaline from being out in front of the lights and have the fans boo you for the first bit. That adrenaline wears off once the game starts. Fatigue sets in. There's a reason he only got to play the first 6 minutes of the first quarter. Because he was gassed. He wasn't ready. Steph Curry wouldn't have got ran out there. They looked at Kevin Durant and said, hey, you're going to New York anyways. We're going to ride you like a borrowed mule.
That's very sad.
It is. And it's what happened. And it should be sad. And that's why you had the GM up there in front of the cameras crying. Because he knows what he did. He knows they pressured him.
And now he feels bad about
it. And now he's the guy who ruined one of the 10 best basketball players of all time the rest of his career. He's that guy because he looked and said, we need a championship. And he probably feels guilty because he's thinking back, Cody, to last year's championship parade where he said, oh, no, the big contract, we saved that one for Steph. He's been here forever. Kevin doesn't get that one. Remember that?
I remember. Is it not possible that the doctors cleared him thinking he was okay?
Maybe. Maybe. Then they're bad at their job and they should be fired.
I mean, you're pretty confident, though, that it was ethical malpractice?
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying eventually they have to make a decision on whether or not they're protecting the team or the player. And you hope that they'll make the decision to protect the player. But when we have this allure of championships there, Cody, I think everyone starts acting crazy. Like, do I think Kevin Durant wanted to play? Yeah. But I think Kevin Durant wanted to play because he wanted to say that he was there for his team and to show that he wasn't a quitter and to show he had heart.
And the doctors could have protected him by saying no, and they didn't do it.
Right.
I like your take on it. I don't know for sure that that's what happened, but, I mean, it sounds like, it is sad for Kevin Durant.
Well, I mean, that's what we want of our athletes, though, right? I mean, we all romanticize the guy who plays through pain and puts up big performances, right? Like, we've made Michael Jordan a hero for being able to play through food poisoning.
Right, but sometimes
or the flu or a hangover, whichever theory you subscribe to.
It's the broken warrior. It's
right.
You know,
we still talk about Kirk Gibson limping around, limping around the bases after hitting a home run. We still talk about Willis Reed coming out and scoring two buckets.
Jon Snow covered in blood in the Battle of the Bastards.
Sure.
And making his way to Ramsey and just beating him. Yeah.
Yeah. We want that warrior mentality, and when we demanded it out of this guy, then he gets hurt. We're like, oh, wow. Maybe you should have slowed down there, buddy.
I mean, it is a certain mentality that people like in sports. It's part of the reason sports exist.
Sure.
You know how sports came about. I mean, they evolved from the gladiator days. We've always had these males, these competitors in some form or another, whether it was in the pit with the lion or whatever.
Yeah.
And we just still enjoy it.
Hey, we weren't the ones in there with the lions.
Yeah.
We weren't the one having to fight them.
We like seeing what the best men physically can do, testing their limits.
Testing their limits mentally, physically, all that stuff. Everyone's hurt. Can you play through it?
Could it be possible that it was just a freak thing with Durant and it just re-aggravated?
No, I mean, I don't think it's a freak thing because any doctor will tell you that there is a chance. Like they even said before the game, which is funny because they're like, the worst that could happen is he could re-aggravate the calf. Whoops.
Well, apparently he did.
Yeah. Just got the Achilles along with it, which is, right there below it, connected to it.
Durant has very skinny legs, too.
I don't know if that plays into anything. I don't know.
I worry about his legs. I don't know. I've always worried about his legs.
All I'm saying is they wouldn't have let Steph Curry play. They wouldn't have.
It's very sad.
They wouldn't have. I
believe you.
They treated Kevin Durant like a borrowed mule, and they rode him until he broke down. Now they're going to just send him out on his way back to his owner, back to whomever, back to his parents.
With crutches.
With crutches.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. And I don't even like Kevin Durant. I mean, I like watching him play. Obviously, if you listen to the show, you know I love the NBA.
Could it be the basketball gods?
Doing what?
I mean, he went to Golden State. No one's ever been criticized more.
It might be the basketball gods showing him mercy, honestly.
At this point, yeah.
I mean, not to make a – I mean, this is, it sounds bad in my head, but I think it's the perfect point, so I'm going to say it. And if it's bad, excuse me, because sometimes I'm a dumbass. But it's the same thing as when Roman Reigns got cancer in WWE. He went from hated to when he came back, everyone loved him. He beat it. He came back. Obviously, I'm not equating an Achilles injury to cancer, but I'm equating to we hate this guy so much, he can do no right. We want to put him down. He's not the chosen one, all this stuff, to where he gets seriously injured. Obviously, with Roman Reigns battling for his life, Kevin Durant, Achilles injury, the worst injury you could have in sports where you're actually, you know, allowed to keep playing. And now when he comes back 2 years from now, I would imagine people cheer for him. You've already seen it today as people come out and, you know, show him respect now and give him flowers and say, oh, what a competitor. Kevin's a great person. You guys should have known he was going to try to play for his team. He loves his teammates.
So you're thinking Durant makes a face turn here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so I think the basketball gods might be showing him mercy. Because I think when he comes back, wherever he decides to play 2 years from now, I think people will be rooting for him to be healthy and start appreciating how good he is for the game.
2 years from now.
Well, he's going to be out a whole year. The Achilles is a 9-month injury, and he damn sure, surely he's learned his lesson where he's like, I'm not going to push it in March next year on whatever team I'm on. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to just sit out the entire year. Make sure I get ample time to heal. Yeah, we've lost the best, the second best, the third best player, whichever one you want to slot him in. We lost him for an entire year last night. And that's bad for the sport. Like, it's the equivalent of Peyton Manning going out injured and missing football for a year. Think about how much the NFL missed him when he went out.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
With the neck.
Sure. Now, obviously, Durant's not the same type of personality as Peyton when it comes to commercials and interviews and all that stuff, but he's the same type of content machine.
Just level of player in the sport, he's about the same.
And content-wise, like, he doesn't give us the charming quotes, but he gives us material, whether or not it's him getting on the internet and arguing with people like a regular human or him trying to fight Draymond Green or whatever. He's a content machine.
Adam Silver can't be happy about this.
Adam Silver cannot be happy about this.
This is not going to be good for ratings.
Well, I still think we're going to get the drama in Game 6. Like, you had the rating spike. It went up like 30% between Game 4 and Game 5. Some of that was probably Durant returning. People wanting to see how Durant looked. You know, another big part of it was a closeout game. Dynasty on the brink type of situation. I'd imagine Game 6 will have another good ratings night. And if they win, they meaning the Warriors, I'd say Game 7 has good ratings. But yeah, next year and in free agency, the league has been changed. We'll kind of look at that next. Stick with us. This Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, let's go to the phone lines. If anybody wants to call in and weigh on this, we got Penny on the phone line. 865-546-8200. What's up, Penny?
What's going on, you guys? How you guys doing?
Doing okay. How are you?
Doing pretty well. I wanted to call in and weigh in on your NBA analysis, especially your analysis of the Warriors. I think you guys almost have it correct, but you were leaving out the complete view. Number one, the American society has always had the distorted depiction that athletes are always to be used until broken. So that lends in that culture of sports, or particularly professional athletes, to play through just injuries that those who value their lives, who get paid less monetarily on a yearly basis, probably wouldn't risk. You know, that's a societal issue that needs to be corrected. And it seems to be slowly being corrected, particularly with the culture of the NBA, especially as these players take their careers in their hands, starting with LeBron of this generation and learning and wanting to go and starting the trend of going to where whatever team he wanted to go to, because he knows that at the end of his career, when his value is not as high, those teams are going to use him as a business decision, and they're not going to value what he wants. So that's one. Number two, I think you guys also are leaving out Kevin Durant. I'm a huge Kevin Durant fan. He's probably neck and neck with Steph Curry equally, even before he went to the Warriors. I've been a KD fan since he was in college. And part of the issue here that you guys aren't bringing up is Kevin Durant's, number one, his ability to pay attention to the chatter of what people are saying about him too much. I think that played too big or too heavy of a role in his decision to try to come back. That's number one. That's something that Kevin Durant has to continue to iron out throughout his life.
Oh, yeah, no, Penny, we brought that up. I said, I think the Warriors even played into that. After Game 4, there was the report coming out of the locker room that the Warriors were, quote, frustrated that Durant wasn't back yet. I think Kevin Durant and his ego and his need to try to prove people wrong and all that stuff, it 100% led to him coming back too quickly.
Right, but like we see with Kevin Durant on Twitter, even as he's been hurt, he's been responding to people on Twitter and Instagram, right? So even if you don't believe, which I don't necessarily totally agree that someone within the Warriors organization stated that, I think it's more so of fans or in the media surrounding that area.
Nah, the Athletic's not putting stuff out from fans. That came from somebody. The Athletic is a reputable site. This wasn't a Reddit rumor. This was a real report from somebody inside the organization or locker room that was frustrated with Durant.
Right. So what Kevin Durant has to grow from is he has to do what's best for him. Now, here's the other side. He's got to learn to do that and stop allowing these other people to motivate him to do things or say things that's not within his best interest. Now, the other side is, let's be real about Kevin Durant. It is a horrible injury. I believe that he's the best player in the league. And because he is the best player in the league, whether he played and got injured and gets injured and has to sit out all next year, here's the reality of it. Every team will give him a max contract at least for a year until he can re-up and sign for 4 years after that. So for him, and there's only very few players that could probably do that, for him, realistically, it's almost no risk because the reality of him being able to come back at close to full strength after that and every team buying into that he's going to be able to be the superstar that he was, realistically, is a low risk. I know that that's probably a minority viewpoint, but that's how exceptional he is at basketball, and that's absolutely how those who are basketball NBA aficionados view him.
Appreciate the phone call, Penny. I don't disagree with the free agency take. That's what's going to be interesting to see what happens with Durant, because there's a couple of options here, right? He has a couple doors, and there have been a lot of teams, including the Brooklyn Nets, who, you know, just traded 2 first-round picks to set themselves up to get both Kyrie and Durant. They're probably looking around today like, oh man, maybe we shouldn't have done that. You have the New York Knicks fans who, I mean, despite only having a 14% chance to win the number one pick in the lottery, they were convinced they were getting it because they were the New York Knicks. They thought they were going to come out with Zion, Durant, Kyrie. They're looking around today like, oh, God, is it just going to be Kemba Walker? Like, are we just getting Kemba Walker here? But those same teams might have to say, look, if we sign Kevin Durant to a 4-year deal now, if we go ahead and offer him this max money,
sign him now.
Sign him now. Sign him this offseason. We give him $40 million for a year to not play.
Whew, that's a lot of money.
And he comes back, and let's just say he's 90% of the player he was. At 90%, Kevin Durant's still a top 20 guy. It sends a good message with other free agents that you're going to take care of guys. It sends Kevin Durant a big message, hey, we want you here. Like, our team's going to be lining up to do that. Because I don't think Kevin Durant's going anywhere for a 1-year deal. Like, I don't think you can really swing a 1-year deal. Hey, Kevin, here's $40 million.
Especially next year.
Right, when he's not going to play. And you don't even gain the bird rights off of that. Bird rights allow you, Cody, to to re-sign a player and go above salary cap afterwards. Does that make sense?
Bird rights.
Bird rights. Named after Larry.
You know so much about this sport.
Named after Larry Bird. Like, they made a new rule so that the Celtics could pay basically a player who had been with you for a while, you could pay them more and exceed your own salary cap to keep them. That's why the Warriors have the opportunity to sign Durant, Clay, and basically just pay almost double the salary cap, right? Mm-hmm. Because they have the rights to those players. It gives teams a chance to keep players that they drafted.
That makes sense.
And you can do that in free agency, but you can't do it off of a one-year contract. So, like, teams giving him a one-year contract wouldn't all of a sudden have the opportunity to overpay him and go over a salary cap just because they had him the year before. It takes longer than that to have that. That's the same reason the Warriors with DeMarcus Cousins, they can't pay him more than, like, $4.5 million next year.
Would it not make more sense for him to just opt into his fourth year with the Warriors and be like, you guys have to pay me this $36 million or whatever it
is? That's one of the options behind the door, Ben, is that Kevin Durant has a player option. And usually these player options are kind of throwaways because usually players don't take the player option if they're good. Usually the only guys who take the player option take it because something has gone wrong or they have, you know, basically underachieved their contract and they're not going to get that much anywhere else. Kevin Durant took a player option probably just as a throwaway, but now he does have the option, Cody, to stay in Golden State next year for $31.5 million. All he has to do is, I think it's June 29th is the date, I think. I think it's the same as basically right before free agency starts. He has to say, yeah, I'm opting in. And he stays in Golden State, and he basically screws up their franchise. He rehabs on their dime, and then he hits free agency the next year.
That could be his way of getting back at him.
It could be.
If he feels that they misled him.
It could be his big middle finger to them, but at the same time, then he has to still kind of hang around the facilities and hang out with the guys.
Does he have to?
No, I don't think he does, but I mean, no, I guess he wouldn't have to. They could give him a leave from the team. You're right. He wouldn't have to do that.
So Durant could just say, yeah, I'm going to hang out here and give me $31
million. $31.5
million.
I'm opting in.
Seems like a good deal.
And that would cripple, for lack of a better term, not making an Achilles joke here.
Pun intended.
It would cripple the Warriors franchise. Like they would be maxed out salary cap-wise. They couldn't sign anybody. They would be basically the team that's in the finals right now on their last legs. I don't imagine that's going to go well in an 82-game season next year. Could be his route of revenge, basically. He's like, yep.
You got to do it.
Pay me.
Durant, do that. Just never go around the facility and just rehab. You know, here's the thing. Not that anything good really comes from an Achilles injury, but Durant can probably use this rest, you know, as a guy who has played in all these postseasons consecutively.
Like I felt that way about LeBron with the groin for 2 months. I don't see it with the Achilles, because I mean, it's not like he's going to be resting. He's going to be rehabbing his ass off. And really, there's only been one guy who came back and could ball out after an Achilles injury.
I'm just saying, if you got to have an Achilles injury, just trying to look at some kind of positive.
He gets a year off.
Get a little bit of rest under you. You know, I mean, yeah, he'll be rehabbing and working out, but it's still going to be less of a grind than, you know, playing an NBA season.
Sure. Sure.
Maybe that helps a little bit.
Like I said, there's only been one guy who's been able to beat an Achilles injury.
Who was that?
Dominique Wilkins. That's it.
Achilles himself couldn't even do it.
Dominique Wilkins is the only person who could do it. He tore his Achilles in 91.
And it's just need to rename it to the Wilkins injury.
91 or 92, you know, 91, 92 season. The 92 season, he tore his Achilles. He came back the next year and averaged 29.9 points a game.
He's the only guy that's ever come back from an Achilles injury?
And been just as good, if not better. Like, DeMarcus Cousins is back from an Achilles injury. Obviously, DeMarcus Cousins wasn't great this year. Kobe Bryant came back from his Achilles injury. That kind of coincided with the team being trash, and Kobe couldn't save them, right? And Kobe just had those performances where he was shooting 40% from the field, and they were just letting him have his victory tour. And that's when the Lakers quit making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. You're talking all sports?
No, Demaryius Thomas has been okay since rupturing his Achilles. He's been okay. Richard Sherman is okay in San Francisco. There hasn't been anybody come back and be better. Like I said, Dominique Wilkins went from a 28.1 points per game score up to 29.9. The year after that, 26. The year after that, 24.4. The year after that, 29.1. It wasn't until he was 35 and went to Boston where he had a scoring dip, but that also correlated with him going to the bench and getting less minutes. So Dominique Wilkins is the only guy who has beaten an Achilles injury, which is pretty remarkable seeing how that was, you know, in the early 90s and medicine was obviously drastically behind where it is today.
Yeah, they probably just did a penicillin shot or something.
Yeah.
Right in the heel.
Yeah. It'll get better, Dominique. Yeah. Don't worry.
Good luck. Yeah, things were different back then. What do you think happens with Durant? I mean, does a team, like you said, take a chance on him now and go ahead and sign him in free agency?
If I'm the Knicks, what do you have to lose?
Nothing.
That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely nothing.
It would, assuming that you only get Durant, it would give your young pieces another chance to play. You could get R.J. Barrett a year under him if you keep the number three pick. And then you're going to suck again, and you get another top five pick.
Yeah,
that
and
maybe
then
you
Kevin
could trade.
Durant comes to your
then
team
maybe you and... that you, maybe you could trade that the next offseason and put some people around Kevin Durant. If you're the Clippers, it's probably worth it for you too. Like I said, I'm going to assume that Durant comes back at like 85-90% is good.
Now we haven't seen the MRI results yet, right?
No, but I feel like since they've gone ahead and put out torn Achilles,
it seems like it's going to be. Yeah.
Very rarely do you think torn Achilles. They're like, oh wait, actually it's okay.
Yeah. Turns out it was just an ankle injury.
Yeah, that doesn't really happen, so I think we're just kind of waiting on the inevitability.
Yeah, that does suck.
I mean, it changes everything. You know, we had this big arms race with, you know, these four teams in these huge markets trying to go out and get Kevin Durant. You know, we had the Warriors trying to make one last gasp effort to keep him. Maybe the Warriors have to turn around and offer Kevin Durant the max. Hey, man, I know we kind of pressured you into coming back early. Here's $200 million. Just take your time. Sit out the year. No big deal.
Okay.
Our bad.
Thanks. I really appreciate it.
Oops.
Take as much time as you need.
Like, I mean, if I'm Kevin Durant's agent, I'm calling Bob Myers today, like, while he's still emotional, like, I'm calling him really right after he got off the podium.
Listen here, you son of a bitch.
Well, they said that was the report coming out of the locker room was that Kevin Durant's agent was, quote, pale as a ghost in the face. Like, he saw his big commission and his friend have everything unraveled. Like,
his commission.
They had this big plan to go to New York and overtake the city, and now that's been delayed, and you're just faced with all this uncertainty.
They did say that, like, immediately after, while he was in the locker room and they were kind of doing their first little evaluations, mm-hmm. that it was the agent, GM, and Durant all in there.
Yeah.
So he made them look him dead in the eyes right after the fact.
That's when you got to be like, hey, so let's go to work on that Supermax. You good with that?
I think you got to stroll up in Bob's office today and punch him right in the face.
Bring the contract, get it verbally agreed to, or say, or else I'm going to punch you in the face. And we're going to tell everybody how much you pressured him to come back.
What would the guy from Entourage do?
Go in there cussing and throwing things.
Jeremy Piven.
Yeah.
What was his name? What's the character? Art.
Ari Gold.
Ari, that's right. It was Ari or something.
Yeah, Ari Gold.
That's what
right?
You got to do. You got to roll in there and just punch him right in the face.
That's what a good agent would do.
Yeah.
We just have all this uncertainty now. And that's why I came in here saying, like, we had a top 10 player, one of the best 10 players to ever play in the NBA. We had him possibly have his career derailed. And we also had a really, really fun
free agency
period right ahead of us.
Still pretty fun, but it takes a hit.
It adds intrigue because now, like, I mean, does Kyrie Irving have to be like, hey, look, man, I've been tripping these last couple months. I'm sorry, Danny. Let's just make things work out here in Boston. Like, I don't really want to go play with Hopalong in New York. Like, I don't have to do this for a full year by myself. Like,
Hopalong.
I'm sorry. I'll quit with the whole weirdo, flat earth, weed smoking, playoff Kyrie thing. I'll be good, I promise.
Yeah, the free agency season takes a little bit of a hit, but
I thought I had a new girlfriend that I could leave you for, but that kind of fell through. I'll be better, I promise. If you just give me one more chance and $200 million, I'll be good.
Yeah. We'll see if Durant has a leg to stand on when it comes to these negotiations.
I'll be good, I promise. I'm really sorry. Really, 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 really sorry. You're proud of yourself for that leg to stand on one, huh? You're just sitting over here grinning.
Oh, I didn't even know.
Okay.
That wasn't, what did you think, some kind of joke or something? I really do hope things work out, though. Rooting for the guy.
No, I mean, I think everyone, like I said, I think it's going to be a face turn. I do think you'll have him come back, and it'll be a, it'll be sort of like when LeBron James decided to go to Cleveland, and everyone's kind of like, you know what? We forgive that whole Miami thing.
Or when Tiger came back from his adversity.
Or when Tiger came back from his adversity. Is that what we're calling that?
Yeah. His adversity? That's what we're going to okay. We're gonna go with adversity. He had a really bad back injury.
I guess that's fair with Tiger. I mean, the U.S. Open is the U.S. Championship. Not the U.S. Open. It's not. That's the U.S. That's tennis. U.S. Championship. As it gets started this weekend. Like, I guess with Tiger, it depends on what you view. Are you?
It is the U.S. Open, isn't it? You talking about golf?
Yeah, it is the U.S. Open.
Yeah, it's the U.S. Open.
So you go with golf and tennis, the same thing?
Yeah.
Okay. It's PGA Championship.
That's right.
U.S. Open. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We figure this out together. Like, it depends on what you look at with Tiger Woods. Are you looking at the back injury stuff or the, hey, I ruined my life by cheating on my wife with a bunch of people and embarrassing her and bringing shame to my family?
Again, adversity.
Yeah. Just throw it all under the same umbrella.
Yeah, he made it through all that. And if he can do that, I think Kevin Durant can do it.
Well, I don't know if Kevin Durant's going to have the same resolve to wait 6 years.
Yeah, well, that does seem a little easier to do in golf.
Uh-huh. And you're just, like, out there by yourself, and you can kind of pick and choose when you play. Like, the NBA, like, you're going to be on TV playing. You don't just get to play the majors for a while or work on your game for years. And
wear on tear on the body is different.
Wear on tear on the body.
Right, but there's less to come back from. Durant doesn't have the whole thing with the wife and the, you know, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Less adversity, I'd say, for Durant.
No pain pill addiction like Tiger kind of had. Remember he got pulled over in Jupiter where he was on the pain medication and acting crazy and thought he was in California?
Yeah.
That wasn't good.
Similar, you know, palm trees. I mean, he might have thought, I mean, that makes sense.
Understandable, I guess. Did you come out of that game last night thinking that the Warriors could win the series?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Do you come out thinking they will win the series?
I don't know. I think we're getting a game seven, though.
I think if we get a game – I don't think we're getting a game seven.
You don't think so? You think Durant goes – you don't think this does anything for Golden State going back to San Francisco or to Oakland? It's the same place.
Toronto won two there, dominated on both games.
They did.
Dominated on the second half of game four. I guess they didn't dominate on the first half, but dominated on the second half of game four. I still think the Raptors are better, especially without Kevin Durant.
Yeah. If they let Golden State tie this thing up, that's going to be...
Like, if Durant was playing Game 6, like I would have agreed with you yesterday. Like, hey, if the Warriors with Kevin Durant win Game 5, they're going to win Game 6. I would have bought into that, but I'm not buying into this Warriors team with... Even now, without Kevon Looney, who was a big addition back to the team, I'm not buying them being able to win even in Oakland. Like, it took a huge shooting performance by them while the Raptors couldn't hit a shot, and they still won by 1 point. And it took Kawhi Leonard playing terribly.
Did Quinn Cook make any shots last night?
He did. He did.
That's good.
He had a big shot in the fourth quarter. I think that was the only one, but he had a big shot in the fourth quarter.
I had a lot of trouble seeing last night.
We would have gotten it taken one shot. How about that? We did a drinking game for game four where we take a shot every time Quinn Cook scores, and he threw up an 0 for 5.
No points. 0 points. We could have had 5 shots there. None.
Last night, he went 1 for 2, but like I said, he did hit a big 3. To start the fourth quarter. I just don't think they have enough guys, man. Like, you obviously can't play Bogut and Bell. Like, you saw Durant in the first quarter when he played. Like, he was bothering Siakam. He was protecting the rim. Like, you saw, okay, now they got a little bit of rim protection from a guy who isn't awful. And then that went out. And like I said, in the fourth quarter, you saw what was going to happen in game 6, in my opinion. We're just like, we're going to put DeMarcus Cousins out on Kyle Lowry, and Kyle Lowry's going to blow right by him. I think those matchups problems still exist. Although maybe they just have a big home court advantage, and maybe Curry and Klay just catch fire and carry them. I don't know.
Maybe they do it for Durant.
Maybe.
They can put that on the hashtag on their Twitter.
Yeah.
Do it for Durant.
Hashtag 4KD.
Yeah.
Just with the number 4. 4KD. Fourth ring.
It's just three characters.
Yeah.
Probably makes a better hashtag. Nah, I think you got to go with the word.
No, I'll go with the number 4. That way you can also say it's because we're about to win our fourth championship.
Ooh. You could go 4-4-KD.
That seems too much like Wendy's. Like the 4-4-4. And KD's only going to have 3 rings. So like, you want to make it subtle?
Yeah.
You want to make it subtle that you're doing 4-KD? Get a little double entendre there.
I don't know. If I see the number 4, I'm going to think of Quinn Cook.
Is he number 4?
He is. Yeah.
Well, he's going to have to play big for them to win, which is why I think the Raptors are still winning game 6. Hour 1 in the books. Hour 2 on deck. We're out.